Broad Street Bully Podcast, talking Flyers hockey.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's episode 317 of the Broad Street Bully Podcast. How you doing? Happy end of January as we venture forth through this wonderful month of Flyers hockey. What's going on? It's Drew Papsky along with Jeff and Doyle. And because we can't keep recycling the same three talking points between the three of us, we brought a very special guest in. First time on the show since, I guess, I don't know, the end of the summer when we had so many high hopes for this team. The return of the prodigal son, Joe the Rat, is back on the show. So what's up, you three? How we doing? I figured we could probably fill an hour if we add someone else in here because what are we doing? The desolate wasteland is Flyers hockey. So, yeah. How's it going, Joe? How's it going, Jeff? Doyle, good to see you guys.
Yeah, great to see you guys, kind of.
I wish we were here for a better reason. I feel like we're at a funeral for a friend and we all got back together. It's like we don't really have, it's not like a party or a reunion. It's more of like, this really sucks and we have to kind of like just go through it together, you know? And the funeral is the Flyers season because the Flyers right now went 0-4-0 this week to go on their second 10-game winning streak. I'm sorry, 10-game losing streak, second separate one. They're now lost 11 in a row. They had a 4-1 loss to the Islanders in Long Island. Came home to play a pretty inspired game of 4-3 shootout loss to the Islanders, which was close. And then played another 2-1 tight game against the Blue Jackets. The Flyers played well for like two games. Did enough to be in the game, but not enough to win, clearly. And then they deserve better fate in the Islanders game. And then they lost 6-3 to the Buffalo Sabres in Buffalo, which was embarrassing. At least Ristolainen scored in his first game back in Buffalo, I guess. So the Flyers are now 8th in the Metro. That's right, 8th. That means last in the Metro. 13-20-8, good for 34 points. They are now 16 points out of a wild card spot, which I think means that this team is on hospice mathematically. I don't care what you say. Unless they go on a 10-game winning streak and some teams lose, it don't look good, people. So besides that, are your guys' lives in order? Are you fulfilling your resolutions? How's your investment portfolio as the stock market crashes? Are you guys okay? There's something else we can talk about that's more positive. I mean, I don't know. Like, are you still employed, you three?
We're not going to retire soon, so the stock market's not that bad, right?
Yeah, drill, baby, drill. Keep drilling those numbers down. Let's do it.
You got to buy the dip. Yeah.
Always buy the dip. And by the dip, I mean skull.
Six layer.
The dip of your chip.
Joe loves dips.
Yeah, I do.
The welfare bear. They're changing the Red Man logo, apparently, and the brand, apparently, too.
Yeah, it's going to be called America's Best.
Wow.
Really? Is that true?
Yeah, because Red Man's offensive.
Yeah, I mean, I can.
But
I can
it tastes good, though. I haven't chewed Red Man in a while. See, this is what happens.
America's Best is a grand claim because I've had Red Man and it's not anywhere near America.
But you ever spend the $2 extra and get the black pouch, like the gold pouch?
I did not. No.
Oh, dude, it makes a difference. You know where that money went.
There you go.
This is what happens when the Flyers are on their second separate 10-game losing streak. We're talking about chewing tobacco. I'm willing to get mouth cancer rather than watch
I'm
this.
I'm very out of my depth in this conversation.
Shut up, yeah. Doyle. Well, Doyle, I just saw you pack a Bandit pouch. I saw you.
Here's my review. It tasted like grapes and almost made me throw up.
Raisins, not grapes.
Are raisins but smaller grapes?
No, they're not.
Shriveled grapes.
No, I don't think that's true.
Dehydrated grapes.
Right. Yeah, they are
dehydrated grapes.
Really?
Boom, roasted.
Yeah, they're
learn
like
about
dried.
Your fruits and veggies, you zilch.
This is the same dried guy who told me the Flyers didn't play a game on a Thursday 2 weeks ago, and they actually did, and that's Flyers' birthday. So excuse me if I don't actually have full faith in your analytics. They call them Jeff Stats for a reason. Anyone's listening?
And prunes anyone, are dehydrated plums.
Plum. Remember that one? That's a throwback. Anyway, I guess we can get talking about the Flyers. Before I do, though, I want to remind you guys to visit our sponsor, Philly Goat. PhillyGoat.com is a local Philly apparel company with full of Philly sports and minutia. I mean, where else can you get a water ice shirt, an actual water ice shirt, Schuylkill River Mermaid shirt, and a bunch of things making fun of Ben Simmons, various things about Philly sports for all 4-for-4 teams. PhillyGoat.com. If you use the promo code BULLY at checkout, you'll get 10% off your entire order, which in this economy, that's a lot. So 10% off your entire order, promo code BULLY, PhillyGoat.com. Go check them out. Go buy a damn t-shirt. Support this podcast, please. We've only made 30 cents so far, so really need you guys to come through. I'm rounding up. I'm trying to buy another box of Girl Scout cookies, so I need you guys to help me out. But anyway, so the Flyers are an 11-game. What'd you say?
By the way.
What?
I saw somebody was posting a link to Girl Scout cookies. Can you buy them online now?
If so, that's so smart. I wonder if they take Venmo or like Cash App. It's like, oh my God. There's a very inappropriate joke we made that we're grooming them to post their Cash App online. That's a lot of girls I see on Instagram models and influencers do now.
You think they take Coinstar receipts?
Do you take cryptocurrency for this for these Girl Scout cookies? I don't want them to trace how much I eat.
Oh, can I buy these online? Because there's some kind of thing where I can't get within 100 feet of you.
I got suckered into buying some, and I immediately hid the two boxes I bought. I was like, I can't look at these for like at least 2 months. I'm gonna let them age like a fine wine.
Let them age.
I'm gonna save them from the Flyers finally end this god awful season in April. I'll just eat them all and cry. Or I could do that now because the season's pretty much over.
Thin mint.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's your go-to Girl Scout cookie?
Caramel Delights, aka the artist formerly known as Samoas. With the little fudge stripes on it, with a little bit of coconut sprinkle.
Coconut. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Samoas and Thin Mints, but Thin Mints you have to put in the freezer.
Yeah, frozen thin mints
are like the OG.
Yeah, or the chocolate peanut butter ones.
I'm not a huge fan of. I like Thin Mints are cool, but I got the new ones. They're French toast.
Really?
Yeah, it's like
you can definitely buy them online. I've definitely done that since the pandemic, and I've definitely also used Venmo to buy them like outside of like a grocery store.
That's smart. Probably the mom gives you a Venmo thing and like winks at you, and Joe's like, hey.
Yeah, and then you DM her later like via Venmo.
Yeah. I've done that before. It works.
Sending her dollars, like $1.
Yes, you have.
Venmo, and have like different texts, like send her your phone number, but it costs $1 to send that phone number. Another dollar to say, hey, text that phone number. I just paid you $1 to send.
Yeah, or you just say, hey, add me on social media and DM me. I've done that. It's worked. That's how I tracked down a girl in Nashville. It was crazy. Anyway, now that we just went over.
Tracked down somebody who wanted to be found. Wink, wink.
Exactly. And we found Jesus together in Nashville. So now that you guys know how to get Girl Scout cookies, here's why you should eat all of them. The Flyers on their second 10-game losing streak. I feel like this is like the part I'm going to use the funeral for at a funeral for a friend reference again. We all like, hey, we're all talking and catching up. Now it's like, now let's talk about it. He died. Okay. So the Flyers season right now, they were competitive. Do we even want to talk about the games this week? Is it even worth it? They were competitive for two games this week. I mean, I guess the Islanders and Blue Jackets are right at their level if you look at the standings, but they played close. They lost by one. That Islanders game, they probably deserved a better fate. But they lost in the shootout, which is not surprising when the Flyers are the worst team of all time in the shootout still. And that's not hyperbole. That's real. I don't know. Is it even worth revisiting? I just want to talk about the other things going on. Like, I don't know. More people hurt. Guys getting re-hurt and moving on. I don't know. Do you guys see anything that was worth even mentioning this week?
One of the biggest telltale things to take out of, I think, this last week of games is that shootout. And primarily to the point where pretty much everyone on Flyers Twitter right now is getting like all sights put on Chuck Fletcher. I don't really get that, but one of his distinct failures since becoming the GM of the Flyers is his failure to get a true goal scorer. He hasn't even attempted to get one. And I mean, that's kind of been like a pretty big rift throughout the past decade for the Flyers, but primarily in Fletcher's tenure here, hasn't gotten anybody that can put the puck behind the net consistently. And the fact that we went 0-9 in a shootout against a team that we had played in a home at home, like we're desperate for points and we can't beat, I don't even know who the Islanders goalie is.
Yeah, that's something I think the Flyers have not had in a long time. I mean, Farabee looks like he's developing into that, RIP his shoulder. We'll get into that. But the last two GMs have not gone after a goal scorer. I mean, Jágr was the last one.
James Van Riemsdyk. Big free agent signing.
James Van Riemsdyk is not a goal scorer. He's a prototypical power forward with a goal scoring upside, but still, like, he has a wrister every once in a while, but he's mostly an in front of the net guy.
He replaced Wayne Simmonds.
Yes.
That was his
role. Basically, yeah.
For a much higher price tag. But he hasn't hit the true power forward cliff, I don't think, yet. We'll see how it looks next year. But, yeah, that's actually...
If he's even on the team next year.
True. We'll see. But, yeah, people are coming for Fletcher's head. Here's the thing. I think there's, like, there's two things I have to say about this, and I'll let you guys let me know what you think about this. Number one, how much of this is actually Fletcher's fault? There are a lot of key injuries right now. We talked about Ellis and Broussard, two guys he brought in to compete this year. They haven't been in the lineup. Ellis has been in the lineup like zilch at all. And then also, Sean Couturier has been out for a few weeks, and I think it's important to note that, like, we saw this last year. When Sean Couturier is out, that's not good for this team. He is one of the – he is – him and Giroux make up two of the MVPs as far as the roster goes for this team, and maybe even more so than a defenseman. Yes, losing Provorov would be awful, but, like, losing Sean Couturier just for defensive matchups and his ability to play his two-way game and still contribute scoring offensively in all three facets of the game, you know, five-on-five special teams with power play and – penalty kill. Those are huge. But the other option is, like, maybe we can't really blame Fletcher, but just because the way the NHL goes, they just need to clean house entirely and blow it up. And it's like, Fletcher, like, listen, we know you tried, but we have to make changes. So I don't know. I think it's the two ways I look at it, and I'm not really sure. But I also am not quick to point fingers at Fletcher, because, Joe, I've heard people bitch about Fletcher a lot. And the little bit of social media and, like, writers I've seen, like, now it's time to blow it up, so I don't know what to do.
Yeah, no, I agree with you in the sense that, like, so in my mind, Fletcher's had two glaring failures. His first was not replacing Niskanen the day after Niskanen announced his retirement. Granted, that was kind of like a very late notice and a surprise to most. Right before that season had started, we weren't expecting that, and neither was Fletcher, clearly. So, but I'll still say that that was a failure on him for not replacing him that season.
But how much salary cap did we have, though? I don't think we had much room at all. I think we had like $1 million, maybe.
Yeah, I don't think we had enough to get a Niskanen level, but still to get some sort of replacement and not just go out with what you have. Even if they were to have brought in one of those veteran guys, like we saw him take this offseason, like a Yandel or something, even though that's clearly Dan Lane at the moment, he at least did what he had to do. And then the second failure is what I already said about the goal scorer. I mean, Vladimir Tarasenko, that was like a name that was being thrown around. He obviously like didn't end up going anywhere. The Blues are kind of like holding on to him for dear life. He obviously wants out still, but so I don't know. He just didn't get those things done, whether or not it was because of a lack of effort or like a lack of salary cap or a lack of ability in like free agency. I'm not sure, but I still have to give him an F on those two things. With that said, everything else, he's doing everything that he can. Like, he brought in Ristolainen. He got a top pair D-man who got hurt four games into the season, and we haven't even seen him since. He got a lot of, like, veteran locker room guys who had letters on their jerseys with their previous teams. He tried building chemistry by getting approval from Kevin Hayes to bring in some of those guys. He tried very hard, probably more than any, like definitely more than Hextall did. I think the biggest release Hextall probably had was Wayne Simmonds, whereas Chuck Fletcher got rid of Jake Voracek, one of the largest goal scorers and point scorers for the Flyers in franchise history. He scrapped that and said, we need to try something else. So he's doing what he has to do. I don't think he should be fired. I think they should ride it out with him for another year or two. I don't know where they stand organizationally. And a lot of people were talking about that Bobby Clark interview a couple of weeks ago. I know you guys touched on it too. I really do think that the reason for that, even though it came up in a very natural environment in a very natural way, I really do think that question was proposed and the answer was given in such a way that it was Bobby Clark defending Chuck Fletcher, because I do think there are people above his pay grade who are starting to ask questions. So, yeah.
All right. Doyle and Jeff, your thoughts on the Chuck Fletcher situation. Do we get rid of him? You guys have 60 seconds. I'm about to play. What's that show on ESPN? Around the Horn. I'm about to start giving points to Joe. Joe gets 5 points there for that answer.
First, to cut in, Tarasenko this season has 14 goals and 22 assists. His 36 points, if on the Flyers, would be first on the team, three above Giroux. So that's one to think of. Also, I don't know if they fire Chuck Fletcher. I feel like Joe brought up that they brought in all this veteran leadership, all these guys who had A's on their sweaters. And then you listen to the post-game interviews and Cam Atkinson is saying things like, oh man, something went bad. And then everything else went worse and quicksand again. But like, Chuck Fletcher specifically brought in people to get rid of that quicksand mentality. So I don't really know if it's necessarily Chuck Fletcher's fault that the team is now mentally inept again, but you fired your coach. You're in a free fall. This is the worst the Flyers have looked in years. I wouldn't be surprised if they axe the GM and go new GM, new head coach to start next year and before the draft so they can put their own stamp on who they take.
Yeah, I think that's a possibility, but I don't think it's direct. It's not that shouldn't be like just a direct interpretation of Chuck Fletcher. Like there are guys that have been coaches or executives in the sports world. I'll use Andy Reid as an example, local guy. He was a great coach for the Philadelphia Eagles, but eventually just it's like, hey, dude, we got to do a whole new culture and whole new change. We have to ax you, you know? I mean, he had his shortcomings as a coach, but you know what I mean? I think Fletcher just may just be part of like a casualty of that situation because the Flyers are so desperate to make a move, possibly. I don't know. But I think that's the only way I really, in my mind, that's the perspective I look at it because I can't look at him and blame him ultimately for all these shortcomings because the first, like, you know, six games of the season, the Flyers looked great, and that was all the things we talked about. I think, Joe, you were on in August. We were like, I'm excited. The Flyers have made some moves. And this is before they even signed, like, Brassard as a free agent at the end of there to round out their bottom six, you know? I was like, dude, that's even a better move for cheap. This is going to help the Flyers move forward and kind of replace some of that ire of last season. And then we saw that for six games, and then injuries to Ellis, and then everything else started piling up, and Kevin Hayes still wasn't ready. So I don't know, man. It's just it's tough. Doyle, what's your take on it?
Well, kind of to go off of what Jeff said, why, like, if, you know, you want to move on, why wait until the off season? Why not just do it now? Because that way you can get someone in place to basically jettison every piece that you can by the trade deadline who's on like an expiring deal, whether it's Ristolainen, Justin Braun, Claude Giroux. You have a ton of pieces that can be moved to kind of get you a bunch of assets to move forward into a new regime, if you will.
Nate Thompson.
So why even give this GM the opportunity to do any of that if they're not going to be here and you're going to just fire them at the end of the season?
Yeah, the Flyers have a lot of assets on expiring contracts like Nate Thompson, Keith Yandel, Kevin Connaughton, Nick Seeler. I mean, they have a lot of possible blue chip trade prospects here. They could really make a lot of money back. I mean, Nick Seeler for a first round and get that first round back and trade it for Ristolainen. This could really work.
People are upset that like they haven't hired. There's been like no news on the coaching front. But if you like, so I don't know. Not a lot of people are bringing it up. But like Briere was allegedly a front runner in Montreal, and the Flyers told him like, "Hey, no, just hold on." And the last time they told a guy to just hold on, it was Ron Hextall, and then they fired Paul Holmgren and made him the GM. So does that mean Briere
promoted him?
Well, right. Fired him out of GM into a new position they created for him.
He fell upwards into a better job.
Ed Snyder loved Paul Holmgren and adored him, and Paul Holmgren is the one carrying on the Ed Snyder torch. He's the only person left in the Flyers organization, really, that is holding that.
But, so. Like, do the Flyers now, like, do they remove Chuck and say, like, no hard feelings, it's not, like, it's kind of your fault, but not really. But, you know, who could have expected this? But we're going a different direction. And then they just slot in old Danny Briere, and we're right back to the boys' club everybody fought so hard to get rid of when Hextall was hired.
Well, it's so insane to me that, like, everybody says, like, oh, the Flyers need to, like, move outside of, like, former players, blah, blah, blah. And then it's, like, some report comes out, like, oh, Danny Briere might be, like, eligible to become a GM. And it's like, well, we should hire him as our GM. And it's just, like, weren't you just complaining about all of the nepotism within this organization?
Yeah, but Doyle, if they hire Danny Briere as GM, they won't show up for 82 games, but then they're going to score a lot in the playoffs and possibly win the cup. So I think there's some legs to this. I mean, they won't play defense, but somehow score a bunch and like be good in the playoffs. It's fine. It's a joke about Danny Briere's play.
Fletcher has some legs to fall on, though, to the point where like how Doyle was talking about, like, they should just do it now if that's the plan. I think if they don't fire him before the end of the season, then it's all likelihood speaks to he's going to remain the GM for another season. And it's mainly because of injuries. Like, that's the biggest thing that he has to fall on. And it is kind of true. Like, I mean, like Drew, you were saying the first four or five games that we had this season, we looked great. Like, we looked like we had turned the page, like completely forgot about last season's issues. And we were going to be right back in contention for not only the Metropolitan, but also a run in the playoffs. That ultimately snowballed, as it tends to do with the Philadelphia Flyers, when one or two guys end up getting taken out of the lineup. It started with Ryan Ellis. Then you run into Hayes having to be in and out based on re-injury. You have Kootz get taken out for 3 to 4 weeks. Who knows where he currently stands? You have Farabee in and out with multiple issues. You have Wade Allison go out in preseason, I think it was, with that high ankle sprain. He comes back for his first game with the Flyers this season, has a sprained MCL, according to sources.
After, and this is after he got hurt.
Mike Yeo said it in an interview.
Yeah, and this is after he got hurt in one of his first Phantoms games back a few weeks ago in December, right?
Yeah.
Then he got hurt in his first game back, then came back. So, Joe, you're right. And the question also comes to, is this another medical staff blunder? Because Kevin Hayes has re-injured the same thing. I know, obviously, you can't medical is based on science, right? And as we all know, the science can change. That's all I'm going to say about that. Everything always changes. So what actually is this? The medical staff just blundering over and over again? Do we have to fire them? Is Jimmy McCrossin to blame? Who's clearing these guys to come back early? Do we just shut everybody down to Sean Couturier and Kevin Hayes and just know what? I mean, Kevin Hayes is back in the lineup, but still, like, dude, Broussard and Couturier, like, know what? Well, who cares about Broussard? But Ellis, Couturier, hey, just shut down. We'll get you guys next year. Because, obviously, they're putting them out there with bubble wrap on them, and they're not fully healed. I don't know what's going on.
They just LTIR'd Kootz. Hayes is out for 4 to 6 weeks. Farabee's out for 4 to 6 weeks. Derek Broussard, I don't think, is, like, day-to-day or week-to-week or whatever. Ryan Ellis, there's no update on, except that he's hurt.
Patrick Brown's been out for a while. Nate Thompson's been out for a while.
Yeah. And it's like, I think with a few of them, you could definitely argue that there may be fault on the medical staff for trouting them right back out before they're ready. But then it's also like them doing that maybe because they, like, I don't know if you've looked at the roster recently, but like all of these injuries, like there is, like I was looking at their starting roster and just like if you made a diagonal line from like the first line left wing all the way down to like the bottom fourth right wing, it was like all of these people on the left side of this are playing above where they should be.
Yeah.
And then that comes into organizational depth. You don't have anybody that, like, you have no other prospects that are even close to being NHL caliber like players right now. You've already called up like the two or three you have, and then there's just no one else to even attempt to fill into a spot because they're not ready. So then you're just playing all these like AHL guys.
Hey, Jerry Mayhew's a savior, okay?
Love yeah, I think that's like one of the reasons ultimately where the medical staff and the coaching staff are kind of like stuck in between like a rock and a hard place, in the sense that they are in, like, so if we look back a month or two ago, and Kevin Hayes is getting geared to come back, Kootz is currently healthy, like they might not be where they want to be, but they're still, like, it's so early on in the season and they're not out of it, and they know that they need to keep winning games, and you have the hope that Ryan Ellis comes back. If you guys stay in the playoff race, then maybe you have a healthy lineup for the playoffs. So that's where this rush idea comes into play, where it's like, okay, well, if Kevin Hayes is ready to go, like, as long as he's good to lace him up, we say you need to go, because we can't have Jerry Mayhew to rely on to ultimately get us to a playoff spot. We need Kevin Hayes, this guy who we're paying a ridiculous amount of money for a ridiculous amount of years to ultimately like do the job. And so I understand why players get rushed back, but at the same time, it's a lot easier to look at it at the situation right now and be like, why the hell did they come back? Like, they re-injured themselves. We're just shooting ourselves in the foot. Why are they coming back? It's a lot easier said than done, I think. But we are cursed in that sense. Like, it happens all the time, every time.
Look at the bottom six.
At least for Hayes, I think Hayes came back because Kutz was hurt, right? And Kutz was refusing to go out of the lineup. And then that was probably, you know, one of the things weighing on Hayes was like, hey, you know, Kutz is hurt, so I should probably come back if I can do it. And then he managed to hurt himself again.
Well, that's it's then, the abdomen.
At a certain point, Kutz was like, yeah, fuck it, I'm done. let's wrap it up.
His core, that core muscle, like, dude, like, you can see it affect his skating. I mean, Kevin Hayes is like, he's not like the fastest guy in the world, but he's an efficient skater, and like, I just see like he hasn't had that like all those. Remember all those like shorthanded breakaways he got, or just being in the right place at the right time on a 2-on-1 his first year and a half here. And you saw that, you're like, oh, dude, this guy's great. Like, this is what we wanted in the center that we signed. He hasn't had that this year. That's going to be something that's like, we looked about Shane Gostisbehere and Claude Giroux a few seasons ago. Had the same exact kind of issue with the core muscle. That's like the ability to push off in your strides.
Claude Giroux was cooked after that.
He was cooked, and now he's one of the only players still producing on this team. Let's look at the bottom six to go back to the injury. In the game against Buffalo, obviously this does change now because of Noah's injury. Lawton was centering Willman and Allison. Okay, that was the starting lineup. That was your third line. Max Willman. No one knew who that was a few months ago. Okay? Scott Lawton's playing center. We all know how we feel about that. That should be Derek Brassard. Or Kevin Hayes, if Giroux was still playing center, which probably wouldn't happen. Claude Giroux's playing center. Morgan Frost playing second line center. And the fourth line. Let me read these names off to you. The only name I knew as of the summer when this offseason was going on was Jackson Cates, who was centering the fourth line. An addition to this team who's been a bright spot, Zach McEwen's playing right wing, and a Jerry May who's playing left wing. Just to give you an idea of what our bottom six looks like right now, it should be honestly no surprise the Flyers are where they're at right now after everything that's happened this season. And not having Ryan Ellis just really changes the makeup of the defensive pairs. Luckily, though, we've gotten to see an extended look at guys like Cam York. We've gotten to see extended play of guys like Morgan Frost, and I think it's why we just shut these guys down and let's see what we got and evaluate, because I hope they don't just say, all right, let's go just sign Johnny Hockey and dump some contracts and hope to retool. I think they need to do a full rebuild at this point, unfortunately.
I don't know if that's going to happen.
I know, because really they want to sell tickets, but dude, you can get tickets for so cheap.
It's not even about selling tickets. They have so much money wrapped up in like four or five players that you can't just do a full teardown.
Yeah, I really think that what we're going to see in September of next year is Claude Giroux will be coming back from his stint in Colorado or New York Rangers, one of the playoff teams. He's going to come back on a home deal. Everybody else who we weren't able to ship off, which I don't think we're going to ship off as many people as we think we'd like to.
Oh, no, we always overvalue our own people.
Yeah. Like, I think JVR is still going to be here. Hayes is obviously still going to be here. Cam Atkinson's still going to be here. And the organization is going to look at everything where the money is tied up and let Fletcher run it again, and see what he can ultimately do and see if we can keep people healthy. I can almost guarantee that's exactly what's going to happen.
I think realistically, Joe, the two pieces besides if they do move Claude Giroux is Ristolainen are Ristolainen and Braun. Those are the two. I mean, I see those two because you can never have too many veteran defensemen that know how to, like, you know, play either bottom pairing minutes or like help on the penalty kill. And Justin Braun is that guy and can help a team down the stretch for not that much money. And Ristolainen is a guy that, like, if you were able to trade for him, someone might want to trade for him and say, listen, we want you to sign here, you know?
He's a big physical right-handed defenseman. I mean, that's like he checks the boxes to be completely overvalued by any NHL GM.
Exactly. I think
hence Braun, what they gave up for him.
Yes, we gave a first round pickup for him. I think someone would be willing to take that plunge on him. He's only 27, and Braun, although he is 34, I mean about to be 35, he's someone that an organization could covet as adding some as a seventh or sixth defenseman on their team if an injury or whatever, just to add some depth for a team that has a little bit of cap wiggle room. I think Braun has a trade value. I'm not saying a lot, but I still think they could get something for him, and I think they should because, I mean, we can't just keep putting him out there. It's not going to help us. We're not at a point where we need him anymore. Okay, he was a stopgap.
They're also both on expiring deals. So if you don't get something for them, you're giving them up for nothing.
Well, yeah, I know. But I think of those everyone expiring deals, they have the most value as far as what teams might want. No one's going to want to really trade for Yandel unless you just want a power play specialist that isn't good on a shitty power play.
Well, he has to waive the no move clause too.
Yes. Yeah. True.
Zach McEwen's another name that I think of who is on a 1-year deal with us. Who we could easily like. He's proved himself to be like a really solid fourth liner.
He's a restricted free agent too, so wherever he goes they have him to sign.
Another name also, just I mean, outside of the game this weekend in Buffalo, I mean, he's kind of been trending back to normalcy compared to where he started, but Martin Jones, I heard Elliot Freeman and Merrick talking this week about the Oilers' desperate need for a goalie, and they were talking about how Martin Jones would be like a really quick fix, hopefully, for them. But being pulled in the first period of this game against a terrible Buffalo Sabres team, I don't know if that really helped his stock at the moment. But he is another name, obviously, that you would want to throw around towards the deadline also.
A terrible Buffalo Sabres team that's right with us in the standings. So how terrible are they? We have
terrible.
Yeah.
You want to know how terrible they are? They haven't scored over like 5 goals in like 20 something games this year, or I forget however 30 games. I forget a ridiculous amount of number of games they have not scored 5 goals, and they put up a 5 spot on the Flyers in the first period, second period.
The Flyers have a worse goal differential than them, and actually the Buffalo Sabres have scored more goals than us overall.
Oh, the other thing too with Ristolainen is like the report on him now is that he wants to test the market. And if that's true and the Flyers are where they are, just sell them off. I mean,
the only thing too about trading all these defensemen, like trading Risto and Braun, which I do agree with, like you should try to get something, is who do you bring in? Like the Phantoms.
Connaughton and Sealer, baby. Connaughton and Sealer, just whatever, dude. We're gonna tank anyway. Why? Just go full mode. Like, you got. All you have to do is play 20 more games. We trade him by the trade deadline. You're close to that.
I mean,
whatever.
At that point, I would probably want to bring in a young guy, just to like give him experience. But yeah, I don't know.
But that's where all that talk about like guys like Jacob Chychrun. If you trade them to the Coyotes, you bring in at least Jacob Chychrun back. You get rid of like a bloated forward contract if you can. And then you just hope that Cam York and Igor Zamula are ready to go. Those are going to be the guys.
Just give him a look. Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, you could probably call Zamula up to play.
There's like a lot of people who like want to get rid of everybody. And the people who are like play the young guys are now the people who are like, well, I really hate that like these no-name people stink. But it's like that's what you're going to get. Like this is what you wanted.
It's hilarious.
You're not going to Crosby on every line. Grow the fuck up.
One of the like first episodes that I did with you guys back in, I don't know what that was, 16, 17?
2016, maybe, yeah.
Yeah. All the talk of the town was, is Hakstol going to allow like Provorov and Konechny to make the team like out of camp?
Wow.
And everybody and their mother got so furious anytime that a Konechny, a Provorov, a Gostisbehere being benched, wasn't on that roster or wasn't on the ice that particular night.
Or and ice saying, time.
Yeah. Like they just, it was insane to me how everybody thought that like, why are we playing Chris Vandevelde and Brandon Manning and Andrew McDonald when we could be playing Travis Sanheim and Ivan Provorov? What's changed? Like we were promised like so much from these guys, and they all stink. They all stink. it's actually crazy to think back.
Konechny got his first 100th goal though. He finally scored his 100th goal after a goalless drought on that bullshit.
Yeah, it shouldn't have even counted.
I mean, yeah, it was just like, oh, that's his 100th goal. Okay, cool. Go grab that puck. You always remember that one, you zilch.
Yeah, it's pretty wild to see like where the franchises ultimately come, because right now I would probably play Brandon Manning and Andrew McDonald over some of the defensemen on our team primarily.
I would do Andrew McDonald. No way Brandon Manning. After Brandon Manning tipped that fucking puck against Steve Mason and basically knocked the Flyers out of the season.
Oh my God, they were already lost by that point, though. They were already done.
They were, but still.
Connor McDavid again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They could be teammates. Ugh. I heard your subtle Travis Sanheim dig at the end there, Joe. Before Doyle talked over you, I heard it. I heard it. He's like, just want
to get it in.
You hate Travis Sanheim. The fact that you made it this far into the episode without actually saying that was surprising to me. You've really shown a lot of maturity and growth as a person, I think.
Yeah,
I will level with Joe there.
I feel bad for like all of them. They are not who anybody thought they were going to be. They're probably not who they themselves thought they were going to be, and that sucks for primarily Travis Sanheim. I just feel so bad for. I really do.
Do you really? Because you talked a lot of shit about him.
The thing with Travis Sanheim too is he was advertised as like this great skating defenseman who has crazy offensive capabilities, and he's just developed into a great skating puck moving defenseman, and that's it.
I don't even know if he can move the puck very well.
He puts the dangles on every once in a while, like, oh shit. But then
he
moves
the puck to the other team well. I think.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. It's not going to get the worst part is everybody's upset now. Wait till they like really burn it down. It's going to be so much worse.
If they trade Provorov.
If they trade everybody they're clamoring now. They want to get rid of Provorov. They want to trade TK. They're trying to get rid of Giroux. Like, you're going to get, like, remember when Giroux was out on COVID protocol and Coots was injured and the Flyers, like, first line center was Morgan Frost and everybody was like, this team fucking stinks. Yeah, that's going to be a whole, like, three seasons.
And then when we do trade those players that you mentioned, like, Giroux will win a Stanley Cup, Konechny will have a 40-goal season, and Provorov will win the Norris.
I think the problem is all those players you mentioned. Well, Nick, don't even start on Obkubel. All those players you mentioned will be on a team that has a more complete lineup, so they're not going to be asked to do as much and can play to their strengths. Like, Konechny should just be on a goal scoring line where they feed him the puck and let him. You know, like,
they're giving Obkubel power play time in Colorado. He's really flourishing out there. I'm not sure where the disconnect was with the Flyers coaching staff.
He took a lot of penalties. We were all done on him. You were done on him before I was.
I know, but why? Like, what changed between? Because he's still taking penalties in Colorado, but they're still giving him like that goal.
They also probably have like a top 10 PK, so right. It doesn't really matter.
The goal from Twitter, everybody was like, "Oh, he took it in on a breakaway and scored," but like not realizing that he was in the penalty box and the Avs had to kill that penalty to get to that goal. Like, the Flyers would have given one up and it would have been over.
Dude, when the Flyers were in the bubble going into that season, Nick Obkubel was a big part of that team's effective bottom lines. He was a good forechecker. He wasn't going to the box as much. He was creating some offense, and we were all up on him. Remember, we had Jamie Bascal back then. We were all talking about how much we liked how big Obkubel was making a difference, and that playoff run he did. And then the last season and then this season until he was waived, he was having trouble with staying out of the box, and it became like the same thing every single time. You know, that's really not surprising that he still can be effective in Colorado. Although looking at it, they do have their penalty kills actually worse than ours as far as around the league, but whatever. He's producing on a much better team, and they can score at will at 5-on-5, and their power play is good, I think.
I want to play a quick game called Guess That Team. I'm going to name two records in the NHL right now, and you got to guess that team. 13 wins, 20 losses, 8 overtime losses. 12 wins, 24 losses, 4 overtime losses.
The Flyers are one of those teams.
That is accurate.
The other team is the other team, Arizona?
No, it's the Seattle Kraken, coached by Dave Haxtell.
Oh, my God.
Dave Haxtell.
He never left.
An expansion team who everybody clamored in the expansion draft was going to be one of the worst teams in the NHL because they didn't have any clue what they were doing when picking players. He's turned that team into the same team that the Flyers currently are right now. with Claude Giroux. Thoughts?
But they have an excuse. Our excuse is injuries and players not developing the way we thought they would. Their excuse is we're an expansion franchise. This is what's supposed to happen.
They had a choice to pick Carey Price, JVR, Vladimir Tarasenko, and then they picked like Morgan Geeky, Brandon Tanev. And the list goes on and on and on.
Who'd they take from us again? Yeah. What the hell's that guy's name?
Carson Terwinski.
Terwinski, yes. Oh.
Who is now playing center for the Charlotte Checkers.
Bobcats? Oh.
The Charlotte Checkers, the Hurricanes affiliate.
Yeah, I mean, good, but whatever. But also, the Las Vegas Golden Knights were the outlier as far as expansion franchises go, but still, the new rules that they would have taken that approach, they probably could have fielded a better team. The Flyers had the injuries. I don't know.
There was never going to be another Golden Knights because I forget who the GM was, but he basically held everybody hostage, took what he wanted, and then still did whatever he wanted anyway.
And also, this was also the time period where I think a lot more teams were in a cap heck when that happened. I think there was a lot more just in general what they were able to do there was like just the layout of the NHL was different. That was right after the compliance buyout era, you know? Right, if I'm correct. I think it was like a year or two after the compliance buyout era when that thing happened, so people were still trying to get out of cap.
I think they gave a couple, but the GM from the Golden, I mean, like, look at, we think we talked about it before, but like Florida got their ass kicked because they were trying to save players, and then the Golden Knights still ended up just destroying them.
Yeah. But they were able to build a good team there, and they still are, you know. The Flyers are trying to.
You would appreciate this.
Yeah,
I sent a picture from, like, I don't even know. Was it like 2015 or 16 or something like that? And it was like a picture of Robert Haig, Shane Gostisbehere, Sam Moran, and Travis Sanheim. And it was from the Flyers account. And it was like the future of the Flyers defense. And it's like I just sent it to them, and I was like, "This picture is a real shame."
Yeah. I hate the fact that the only player we have left out of that trio is Sanheim.
We got Morin, just hurt.
Yeah, still have Morin.
He's going to be a restricted free agent this year. He's going to be arbitration eligible. I think he's going to argue for less money because he deserves it.
Sam Morin's going to be a Flyers coach or general manager at some point in his future.
Yeah, he's like, dude, just you're going to be a development coach with the Phantoms probably. Just do that.
Speaking of development coaches, I was listening. I don't tend to listen to a podcast of similar variety that is very popular.
Ours.
Really worked. But I was listening to a subsection of their podcast for Bill Matz, who I will name drop. He does post-game.
We love Bill.
Yeah. And a caller on his show, this was a couple of days ago, but listed the names of, like, he was talking about the idea behind, like, okay, you can recycle coaches, like, you can bring in new GMs every 4 years, and you're still going to have the same product on the ice. And he was calling into question the development of a lot of these young players. He ended up going in and doing some deep dives on, where a lot of our development staff comes from and how long they've been with the organization. The majority of the development staff with the organization right now has been here for 10 plus years. The majority.
Say, isn't Dave Brown like the head of scouting?
Yeah. Like,
and he's been the head of scouting for a very long time.
There was a good portion of them that have been here since like the late 90s, early 2000s. They have like lifetime deals. And I think it's really time for us to start calling into question rather than saying fire Chuck Fletcher or fire Mike Yeo or like whatever front facing talking head you can like point to. Like you got to like kind of look behind the scenes and see maybe some more reasons why this team has ultimately like failed to get to where it was supposed to be 4 years ago. And they're now 4 years away from being 4 years away. Like it's
but it's much easier. Hard. They're blaming that one woman who's like a VP at Comcast. I've been seeing her name. Like, I'm like,
yeah, that's crazy.
It's like, it's much easier to blame the big fat cats. Like, oh, it's the industrial capitalist Comcast are coming out to take down the little guy. It's like, I mean, I get some of that, but
what she did around the arena and like, the whole rage room thing, like, yeah, that lasted. Is that even still a thing?
probably not.
It's much easier to go out and, like, you know, riot in the streets of Philly, or, like, you know, I don't know, punch somebody at Xfinity that's talking to your girlfriend rather than pay for the rage room. Like, come on.
Not that
I advocate
scouting
for violence. I'm just saying. I know the type of ilk of men that are there.
In Finland until like 2 years ago or something like that.
Yeah. Well,
like, that's insane.
As someone who played through a couple of full seasons of NHL Be a GM mode back in the day, you got to really cast a wide net because there's so much talent around the world. There's so much diversity. You got to know where to look. And that's
right.
my two cents.
You got to upgrade your scouts so they can.
Yeah, exactly.
See
if you really
want to
play this for the long haul, you can't just like trade everything for a free agent. You really have to build up your scouts with the points you have. And in real life, I think it translates to you have to have a variety of viewpoints coming in. And like Joe said, if they've been around for 20 years, I didn't know that, but not surprising because that can remain behind the scenes and, you know, oh, I did a good job. You never know. I mean, it's a crapshoot, right? It's scouting. Well, other teams have cashed in on quite a few.
Yeah. There's also been a couple people I've seen on Twitter who are very adamant that, like, okay, so you fire everybody, you replace it, the team gets old, whatever. Everybody is like, we need to go back to the old way. And what was the old way? It was Ed Snyder throwing money at people, the Flyers maybe getting to the Eastern Conference Finals, and then getting steamrolled by the Red Wings in the Stanley Cup. Like, I get that, like, the Flyers won games and went to the playoffs, and they were like a perennial playoff team. But that got them nothing. Because, yeah, okay, we got a couple years of, oh, maybe they'll beat the Lightning and go to the Stanley Cup. Oh, they lost. And, like, is it better to make the playoffs and not win than to be so bad that they have to do a full teardown and rebuild? I don't know.
I think it's just the process. I think you're going to go through both. And to be fair, if they beat the Lightning that year in that Game 7, they would have definitely won a cup that year.
Yeah, they probably would have.
Wasn't it against the Oilers in
04? 04?
Was it the Oilers?
It was Calgary.
Because the Oilers haven't won.
If only they had, like, one other defenseman that could play.
Kent Huskins.
Instead of Sammy Kapanen.
Listen, I'm like the rest of the
who died on the ice against the Maple Leafs.
Like, he couldn't even find a bench. Why are you guys laughing? That was a traumatic brain injury. You assholes.
I fall in love with, like, the idea of this non-existent. I mean, I guess it was existent, but
you like the idea of Coke more than Coke.
I like
the idea of a culture for the Flyers. Like, I like the idea behind this. Like, yeah, we're like a hard-nosed team. We never quit, even though that's like the opposite of what we do these days. Like, we're rough, we're tough. We'll beat you around and play like a really physical style. Like, yeah, the idea of the Broad Street Bullies is a glamorous idea, even if that was an accurate statement, like anywhere close to what the Flyers have been the past decade. There is no way that you can even sustain that idea in today's NHL. It literally just doesn't happen. You can't have that version of a hockey team on the ice. You need to have people. You need to have goal scorers. You need to have the likes of a Colorado, a Florida Panthers. You need to have the combination of it all. Defense in the NHL at this point is keeping the puck out of your zone. Like, that's, and like, so this idea behind we need to go back to the old ways, we need to go back to people who really care, like, these are all just like smoke and mirrors. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
It's platitudes, Joe. It's just things to say to, like, for a nostalgic era of a time that's gone by, and they think that it was better because it was older, and they're orange colored rose colored glass, whatever you want to say. You need a fourth line that can produce. You can't have a fourth line of goons. We know this. We've been saying this for years. You need a fourth line that can chip in some goals throughout the season and maybe a couple in the playoffs to help balance out when your superstars are getting shut down.
And the Ed Snyder method of team building doesn't work anymore because of the salary cap. And you saw that when Ed Snyder threw a bunch of money at Darian Hatcher and Mike Rathje. And then the exact next year, right? I think it was pretty much the next year, the salary cap went into effect. And then everybody was like, oh, boy, the Flyers are fucked right now.
Well, they had to ship off everybody. That 04 team had to get shipped off.
Yeah, it was right after the 04 team.
Because there was a lockout
and then put the salary cap in.
Yeah, so that they had to ship out. They had to ship out, like,
so they had to move Danny Markov,
Recky,
who they traded Justin Williams for.
Yes.
They had to trade off, like, Recky, Roenick, all those guys. Primo had the concussion. They had to trade away a lot of their veteran talent they put together for that 04 run. That team was great. They were a game away from going to the finals.
If the NHL really wants to mix things up, they got to take a page out of basketball's book and do like the, if your homegrown talent signs a huge contract, it doesn't count against the cap, and start to work it like that. Because if they're not going to have the salary cap that the NBA has or the NFL has, then they need to figure out ways to make it more exciting and let teams spend more money without, like, it's got to promote building from within, but you also got to give them more room to pick up free agents. I don't think that's a ridiculous statement.
It'll get to that at some
point. They can definitely afford to tweak the salary cap at some point, right. but it does make it hard because
COVID,
like,
stuff,
you have all escrow. These teams that build all, like, the Lightning, like, have drafted so many great players and they just can't keep them all because of the cap.
Well, do they, though? They just get injured. They can't keep doing this.
Yeah, just Nikita Kucherov.
That's a big name, though. Yeah, he's a game changer.
Well, what do you think?
Yeah, they lost like their whole fourth and like parts of their third line last year.
That is a good point.
And most of them are like, well, what's his face from? He's on Seattle now. He's like their top line center, even though he's playing third line center for them last year.
I'm not sure who you're talking about.
Yanni Gourde.
Johnny Gourde.
Yeah. But I don't say this often. Jeff, it is a good point, though. Maybe the NBA can institute, I mean, the NHL could institute something with the NBA where, like, homegrown players get, like, either don't count against the cap or they get, like, a percentage off or something like that.
Or
encourage drafting and developing from within, which is what the NHL is looking to do. And then it also leaves money for them to go out and make a splash in free agency and sign somebody big. I feel like the NHL is constantly shooting themselves in the foot with everything they do.
Or they should take a page out of the English Premier League and bring relegation in and relegate the Flyers until they figure their shit out.
To the AHL? They go right to the ECHL. Don't pass go. Relegate your asses.
Yeah, that'll save us all a bunch of headaches.
Yeah.
It would be wild.
The NHL probably does have they have the strictest salary cap in all four sports by far, right? I mean, there's no luxury tax.
NBA, baseball have luxury tax, and then football you can just
cut the guy. There's guaranteed money.
Cut the guy once you hit his guaranteed money. Yeah,
it's like
structure. Yeah,
and it's like the Flyers. Like, well, you still have to pay that out. It doesn't matter if he's hurt. Sorry, you know.
Yeah, you can LTIR him for now, but then once the summer comes around.
Yeah, it's
I haven't looked too much into it, but I know with COVID, like, the escrow amounts are way out of whack and the players owe so much money that I don't think that the owners are going to agree to switch anything with the salary cap until they get their back money.
Oh, speaking of escrow, did you see a+ tweet by Brad Marchand to the Carolina Hurricanes?
No.
Yes.
Did not.
So apparently,
wait, hold on. Should I play a drop?
Well, I don't have it in front of me. I was just going to summarize it.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, whatever. We don't do our bits anymore because the season's over and so is our show.
Yeah, exactly. Why are we trying to add fun? There's no more fun.
There's
only Zool.
There's only Zool. Shut up. That should be the promotion for this week. Why are we trying to add fun to this? There's no more fun. This is Flyers hockey. That should be the promo. Everyone to know. Like, this week, if you're going to listen to our hour talk this week, this is what you're getting yourself into. There's no fun in baseball. There's no fun in hockey anymore. It's just over. It's done. So what was the tweet, Doyle?
So the Carolina Hurricanes.
You have it? I pulled it up.
Oh, you pulled. Well, read it off then.
Oh, hold on.
So,
hold on.
You're prepared.
It's time for
Shibadoo Bop Bop Tweet of the Week. Yeah.
So,
that's right. Everybody. It's time for Tweet of the Week. Hold on, Joe. I got to do the whole bit. God. Fucking worst guest ever.
Hey, Joe is overzealous. He's reading the tweet of the week.
Yeah, Joe's getting all excited, like, oh, my big shot. I wrote 3 articles in 20 years, so now I can finally. It's that point of the show where you can listen. Are you the fan? Are you the player who we all hate, but also is kind of funny? Tweet something funny, cool, or makes fun of the Hurricanes. So, Joe, what's this week's tweet of the week?
I'm just going to pass it to Doyle.
Oh, wow. did I get you frazzled? Doyle, what's this week's tweet of the week?
So I don't know what the Lamborghini thing is for, but the Hurricanes are dunking on Brad Marchand somehow. But they said L stands for Lamborghini whilst they were playing the Bruins. And then Brad Marchand tweeted back at them in a reply and said, "You're still the reason we pay 20% in escrow."
I don't get it. What the Hurricanes do?
They pay. What do you mean? What do they do?
But why are the Hurricanes to blame for that?
Because how long have they been operating in the red?
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, but hold on. There's a reply tweet that Jeff just pulled up. It's what. Oh my god! What does the caption say? I don't even know what the caption says. We have to explain this. So it's all I see is the picture of George W. Bush on September 11, 2001, sitting in that Florida elementary school, being told that a plane has hit the second tower. And what's the caption say?
Carolina.
It says, "Sir, Carolina Twitter account has fallen."
Yeah. Carolina replied, "LOL, we just tweet red." And then that TDIAS_515 tweeted, "Sir, Carolina's Twitter account has fallen."
All right. Hold on.
Tweet of the week. Right there.
Oh, my God. Tweet of the week. Yeah.
Oh, it's been 20 years. I guess it's a lot of. Jesus Christ. That's so funny.
Oh, my God. That's brutal.
Brutal.
I believe
kill.
Brad Marchand was also going
double
into it
kill.
On Instagram with people as well.
I'm not surprised.
All right, I get the escrow joke now. Thank you for explaining to my dumb ass. I appreciate it now, but still.
I can't believe the Hurricanes Twitter has fallen.
They had a good run. They had a good run, you know.
Jesus.
I'm talking about
what a fucking sick individual.
I'm talking about the Twitter, not the former skyscrapers. Anyway, so moving on, the Flyers this week. If you want to get in tonight, the Flyers are hosting the Dallas Stars. And right now on StubHub, tickets are as cheap as $18. I'm telling you guys, hey, if it's the season of Tinder and cuffing season, go out there and find yourself a lady or a fella and treat them to a game and act like you're a big shot. You can actually spend some money on beers and still come out, spend less than $100. Cheap date. There you go. The Flyers host the Dallas Stars tonight. Listen to this one. It comes out every Monday. The Flyers let me traveling back to Long Island to probably not avenge any of their losses last week for a 7:30 puck drop against the Islanders. And then they'll have a few days off to practice systems with the coach and get ready for the big Saturday 1 p.m. matinee game hosting the L.A. Kings as they come to town. And then the Flyers will be wrapping up the month of January there. And then they'll have a game next Monday, a couple days off, and then they have a bunch of rescheduled games. So now, just to review this real quick, the Flyers, now there's no Olympic break for the NHL. A lot of games have been rescheduled. The Flyers will be playing throughout that break, minus like a 4 or 5 day break they have. And that includes games against Detroit. They were rescheduled, a game against Pittsburgh, Washington, Carolina, St. Louis, and all that stuff. Just, you know, round out your month of February where I'm sure you'll be watching Flyers hockey. And, you know, I mean, at that point, football will be over too. So I don't know what we're going to do with ourselves. I don't know, maybe like reflect and look inwards. Talk to our family.
Do
I don't know.
Do
what do we do?
Every year the Flyers are bad. This is going to become a Sixers podcast.
But we were supposed to make the playoffs this year, Doyle. It was an odd year. It was an even year. We're supposed to do every other, right?
Not anymore.
I guess that's what gave me so much confidence even in November as the team was starting to fall apart. I'm like, it's still early. It's an even year. We're going to make it. But I thought we were going to make it after all, but apparently we're not. And yeah. So in the last few weeks, we've had some major losses. Bob Saget, Betty White, Louis Anderson, and now the Flyers season, I think. John Madden. Meatloaf. Who?
Meatloaf.
Oh, Meatloaf. I was going to get to that. Yes, I was saving that.
Took the words right out of his mouth.
We were glowing like the metal on the edge of a knife in September, thinking we were going to do well. And then, you know, the Flyers were, will you love me forever? It's like, I'm not sure. Will you need me forever? That's what I feel like right now. They're just trying to get us to love them, but it's just I do. I'll still support them, but I'm not going to lie, man. It's hard to watch these games. I still do, but I don't think I've watched a full 60-minute effort, mostly because I've been so busy with a lot of other things. But I haven't watched a full 60-minute game. I wouldn't say 60-minute effort because I haven't seen that since, I don't know, NAM at this point. But injuries of, I don't know. Any closing thoughts for this week's episode, guys? Joe, Doyle, Jeff, save me from myself. I'm hurt. I'm wounded.
Three quick things. I'll try to keep them quick.
Three. Okay. Yeah. Whatever, Joe. The time is yours. Go for another whole another hour. It's fine. I'm nothing to do. I don't want to watch football today. I don't want to, like, you know, pet my dog. Go ahead, Joe.
If the Flyers lose tomorrow against the Stars.
You mean today? Because it comes out on Monday. We have to keep the illusion that this is live on Monday morning.
Yes. Today, night.
Jesus,
at
Joe.
The Wells Fargo Center.
Theater of the Mind. It's radio.
Their 12th straight loss, and it will be the franchise record for a losing streak.
Let's do it. Why not?
Yeah. I think there's a clarification between losing and winless because they have 3 points in this. So let's not get the terms wrong.
Well, they're pointless. They're still winless. Winless in Seattle. They're pointless.
Drew, point number two. If we trade Claude Giroux and he doesn't come back next season on a homer deal, and we make the playoffs next year, will Not Drew Flyer Fan, our favorite Twitter account, have a field day and potentially be the primary account for this podcast?
I think it's a long overdue answer, and the answer is yes. I don't really go on the Twitter much anymore at all. But I mean, neither does Not Drew. Apparently, I think he's been busy, just like, you know, getting mad at the team for not playing defense and trading Shane Gostisbehere, who was the only player that had offensive ability, and not giving McEwen first line minutes because he has heart. If the Flyers do trade Claude Giroux, I honestly would love him to sign back here. Obviously, I've made my love for that man well known on this podcast over 300 episodes, and I think he's gotten a raw deal. But I also wouldn't blame him if he moved on and never came back. And I also know how. I don't know if that fits in the Flyers' plans to bring him back here for what. I mean, yes, he still has, but if they're going to do a full rebuild, you're bringing him back just to what? Keep asses in the seats for a couple of years and have a little competition? Or because he wants to? I don't know what they're going to do. And that really depends. It all comes down to, do they keep Chuck Fletcher and move on? But I don't know. Not Drew Flyer Fan will have to come back at some point.
To make it help a little bit more helpful, I think, Drew, inside sources say that Giroux bought a house not too far outside of Pensauken, your stomping grounds, kind of.
Hell yeah.
So, and that was like literally a month or two ago. And I would be shocked if he was just like ready to up and leave forever. Only a month or two into a new place.
Yeah.
So
we'll see.
He's a real estate mogul.
Yeah, real estate moguls just buy right now, and the market's so crazy, he'll sell it. No inspection, cash on the books. We're done. I don't know. We'll see.
Exactly. Probably paid cash for it from all that money he stole from the Flyers.
Oh, there it is.
Final point. If the Flyers continue with this loss of a season, which everything points to being the way that it's going, the Flyers will likely end up having, hopefully, a top five pick in the draft.
You know, they're not getting number one.
Nolan Patrick's brother.
No, if the organization decides to allow Fletcher to fall on this year's injuries and come back for one more offseason, we only unload a Rasmus Ristolainen, a Martin Jones at the trade deadline. Giroux is back next year. All of our long-term contracts are back next year. Does the organization sell success or promise success based on whatever our top five draft pick is, and do they make it into the lineup first opening night? This is very far in advance, but something I can't help but think about.
Well, let's say if they do unload a couple contracts just to add some picks, maybe like a third or fourth rounder for Martin, just something like that, a fifth rounder for Martin Jones. I mean, it depends on how desperate, if the Oilers are as desperate as, you know, that one source said, maybe they just accumulate some picks and able to use that to build up the team. But if they have had a top five pick that can, I would imagine if it's going to be a top five pick that's going to impact immediately, usually it's a forward. Usually defensemen don't make it on opening night from being a draft because of the learning curve. But I don't know. Maybe that'd be cool, I guess, to give them a little bit of, I mean, it's worked for the some teams to put guys in there, but who do they have? Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I still want to go back to one of our old episodes. I just actually had the time to do it and listen to the one episode where I think Doyle pointed out that we said, like, watch, the Flyers won't, either whoever the Devils pick will pick the other guy and he will wind up sucking or not panning out for the Flyers at all. And I want to see if we, I think we did say that. I want to play that clip on the show.
I think one of us definitely said
that. Yeah, we did. So that's going to happen. The Flyers, the second overall pick, we lucked into it, and watch, it's going to be awful.
Well, this year's draft is apparently not great, right? It's next year's draft that's supposed to be better.
So, do they trade the pick?
And the top consensus pick this year is a reliable two-way forward.
Bring Hextall
really
back.
Fits the Flyers' mold. So, it makes perfect sense that the Flyers would win into the draft lottery and get the guy who everybody deems the safe pick.
Or they trade that first overall pick for somebody, like a veteran guy that can come in.
Johnny Gaudreau. He loves Philadelphia.
Yeah. The rights to Johnny Gaudreau, and then Dan Hamhuises us.
And goes plays in Vancouver because he couldn't beat out Braden Coburn for a power play spot, you fucking nerd. I'll never forget that guy. I don't think he knows how much I think about him.
That guy's a real pecker.
I don't think he knows how much I think about him.
You hear that, Dan? That's really or Daniel.
Meanwhile, he's like, I don't even know who you are.
He does.
Old Danny Hamhocks over here.
He's not even playing anymore. He retired.
I'm looking at a random mock draft right now of like the rankings of prospects. Shane Wright is obviously number one, and then I don't know the rest of these people.
Well,
Logan Cooley. David Yerichek.
I think we gotta draft that guy just for the. I want to get that jersey.
Yeah.
Don't touch my Cooley. I'm 5 years old.
Simone Nemec. Matthew Savoy.
Oh, Doyle, did you see?
I think Savoy's supposed to be pretty good.
You saw your boy, Mr. Krebs, score a couple goals against the Flyers yesterday. I mean, sorry, on Saturday. Yep. The Krebs cycle.
Yeah, Krebs cycle.
We all talked about it, Mr. Krebs. One of the guys we banded about in the draft a couple years ago.
Could have been ours.
Yeah. He's a friend of ours. That'd be money. But yeah. you guys got anything else before we wrap this one up?
We'll be back next week to discuss Chuck Fletcher's meandering.
We'll be back next week with the same episode as this one.
We'll just keep recycling it. But for you, we have any.
Meltzer tweeted out Sunday that Fletcher has announced he's having a state of the team press conference this week, but the date and time TBD.
We already did that in an episode a couple weeks ago, didn't we?
Well, I can only imagine. I mean, realistically, everything Chuck Fletcher is going to say, we've already talked about today. It's injuries. It's
he's going to say performing, I guess. This roster is going through like their top like nine. Or like four of their five best players being hurt for an extended period of time. And then that's basically probably going to be the whole press conference.
Yep.
We don't have deaths in the AHL to get called up. Tyson Forrester blew his shoulder out in the beginning of the season. He's just starting to skate again.
Wade Allison
messed his ankle up, then jacked his shoulder up or whatever. Now he's got a knee problem.
They're going to make Chuck Fletcher do it at like sitting at center ice, and he's going to be like, "This is weird. Why would we do it here?" And then they're going to have the organization's going to have Gritty rappel in, and then land, and then hand Chuck his walking papers, and then they'll be like, "All right, press conference over. Get out."
That'd be good. That'd be a good move.
Everything's bad in Flyerland. Here's a video of Gritty.
Wow, the team is so fun to watch again. Free admission to the rage room.
That a video of Gritty rappelling from the rafters and then firing Chuck Fletcher would not take off.
Oh, it would. All the wrong reasons.
This is just, I think, a mix of our growing up watching WWE and just mixing it in with the Flyers.
Yeah, Chuck Fletcher's press conference is at center ice, and they do the camera zoom into the rafters like Sting, and it's just Gritty's face up there watching.
Oh, God. He gets blue meanie.
No. Not blue meanie, blue blazer, do you mean?
Blue blazer. They finally get rid of Gritty, and that's how they're just like, we addressed everybody's concerns, and we got rid of the mascot.
Dude, could you imagine? Oh, my God. Can you imagine when that happened? Oh, my God, being in the crowd of that pay-per-view? I'm talking about when Owen Hart was the blue blazer, and like he fell to his death. Yeah. Oh, my God, it's awful.
And everybody was like, wow, he took a hard fall. And then everybody was like, oh, this is not part of the show. This is not part of the show.
Yeah, it's awful. Anyway, personally, if we have any listeners that are up near the North Jersey area, up near Trenton or closer to New York, I'm going to be Raise the Bar Lounge on Monday and Tuesday night as part of the Little Mini Comedy Festival. A comedian I know is putting on. I'll be up on stage showtime around 8 o'clock Monday and Tuesday if you want to come check me out. If not, whatever. Just do like everyone else does. Give me an excuse why you can't show up. But whatever. I don't really care about selling tickets. Monday and Tuesday night, Raise the Bar Lounge up in South Amboy, New Jersey, closer to Edison and New Brunswick and all the way up to New York. So if we have any fans out there, stop by, say hi. I'll buy you a drink. If not, cool. I'll be back in around Philly area soon. I'll promote more dates in the coming months. But, yeah, let you know what's going on. Well, thank you for coming on the show, Joe. I'll give you a closing comment if you have any. Then we're going to put this one to bed so I can get on with my day.
Sad state of affairs for the Flyers. Looking forward to summer series with Broad Street Bully Podcast.
Oh yeah, summer. I might have to bring it back. I might have to start
very,
next week.
Very early summer series
starting February 2nd, Groundhog Day. The summer series returns in winter. Why do I sound like Tom Brokaw? Anyway, guys, thank you so much for listening. Thanks, Joe, coming on the show. We'll catch you guys next week. We'll see if anything changes, but like Led Zeppelin, the song might remain the same.
This has been the Broad Street Bully Podcast with your hosts, Drew Papsky, Jeff, and Doyle. Available anywhere you get your podcasts. Check out BroadStreetBully.net for the latest episodes and daily content about the Philadelphia Flyers. Follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at the BSB Podcast.
Yeah, da 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 da.